And to say how good it is to be with you again. We've had such lovely, kind hospitality today from Mark and Helen Brown, and we do thank them for that. It's been a lovely time, and we praise God for them, and we praise God for you, and trust that the Lord will continue to make you a means of grace in these dark and unbelieving days. Now tonight we're in Matthew chapter 9. And verse 20. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20. And behold, a woman. We're not told whether she was young or old, whether she was married or unmarried, whether she was from this district or whether she traveled a long way. We don't know anything about her except just what we find here. In these three verses, behold a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Well, of course she was. It couldn't have been anything other, because it was Jesus who was working. Important people do not take interruption lightly. They're busy. They've got work to do. And how can they be interrupted? And sometimes secretaries are employed, and part of their work, sometimes a big part of their work, is to tell him I'm out. Tell him I'm out. They don't want to be interrupted. And yet, you know, the most wonderful person that ever walked this earth, he was prepared to be interrupted. Interrupted. He was already on a life and death case. Jairus had come to him and spoken to him about his daughter. His daughter was dead. But Jesus knew what he was going to do. And yet here he just waits a while this woman comes and interrupts him. Jesus had time for this woman. As I say, we don't know who she was, but this other man with the daughter, he was a ruler. He was a ruler. He was important. And he had a little girl, and she was dead. That was a big thing. Then this woman. And I can imagine some in the crowd wondering about her, and maybe some of the disciples might have been tempted to shoo her away. But you know, Jesus had time for this woman. And I want to tell you tonight, whoever you are, he's got time for you. He's got time for you. You who are Christians, you who need him, he's got time for you. He's got the whole world to run, keep the whole place going. And he's got time for people like you and me. What a Savior. And if you're a Christian and you've got a pressing problem, he's got time for you. And if you're not a Christian, he's got time for you. This is a gospel service. It was announced this morning. I distinctly heard the secretary announcing a gospel service at 6:30. What a great thing is a gospel service, when the work of our Lord Jesus Christ is pronounced in our ears. What he's like, and what he does, and who he does it for. And sometimes how he does it. like we have in this story. Behold, a woman. Well, an older preacher was taking a class of younger preachers. And he said to them, as perhaps he would, he was telling them what their hearers would be like. Not that you ever know, but you can imagine. But he said to these younger preachers, he said, sometimes your hearers will need to be warned. And sometimes they will need to be threatened. And sometimes they will need to be whipped. And sometimes they will need to be wooed. I want to woo you tonight. I want to woo you to Christ. I want you to show you his loveliness in dealing with this woman and the way she was and how she came. And you may be like this woman. You may be just like her, or you may be like her in some respects. Here she was. Now there was something about her that knew of Jesus. She was making her way to him. And tonight, I point you to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. And not only the Savior of sinners, but the only Savior of sinners. Many of you are here tonight, and you are such. You are those who are saved by grace, and you love God for doing it. And you love the Lord Jesus, that he ever came and died on Calvary's cross to save you. But maybe some of you haven't got that far. Maybe you come here every week. I don't know. I was introduced to somebody this morning who was here for the first time. Maybe you're here for the first time tonight. I don't know. But I do know this. Whoever you are, you need the Savior. And he's got time for you, if you've got time for him. Now let's look at this woman. The first thing I just want to tell you about her is that it says in verse 20, it says that she came. I want you to notice that. She came to Jesus. Now some people, they ask about him, and some think about him, and some talk about him, and some even pray about it, but they don't come. Now this woman, she came. What a little word that is. How important. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, she came. I want you to come, whoever you are. And I want you to come tonight. And I want you to come because you've broken the Ten Commandments. Every one of us, preacher included, broken the Ten Commandments. And Jesus is willing to save, willing to help, willing to heal. Now, this lady had a physical problem. But she also had faith, of course, in Jesus. And sometimes in these days, God works wonderfully in healing people. There's physical healing. Now, I don't know what God will do for you or what God will do for me in respect of physical healing. But I do know this, that he saves sinners. And I want this woman to be a picture, maybe of somebody here tonight. And the first thing I note about her is this. She came wearily. Are you weary? Are you weary? It's a weary wilderness, you know, through which we're passing. Many, many people are sorrowful and sad and tired and weary. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in the first chapter and the last verse, it tells us this. The longer we live, the more we know about sorrow. How true that is. Little children running about in the playground, you know, 6, 7, 8 years of age, and many of them don't have a care in the world. But their mothers do, and their fathers do. Maybe their elder brothers and sisters do. And the longer we live, If it's not our own sorrow, it's somebody else's. And so often we are weary. This woman was weary. Now, I know she was weary because it tells me here that she was suffering from this hemorrhage, this issue of blood, as it's called in the Authorized Version, and she'd been suffering from it for 12 years. And there was something about this matter of blood, you know, that made her, in the Jewish world, unclean. And it meant that she couldn't be in the temple or she couldn't be in the synagogue. She was unclean. And here she was for 12 years. She'd been carrying this weight, this burden, this affliction. Maybe you've been carrying an affliction for many years. I'm sure there are those in this congregation that have. Now, the case that Jesus was on his way to when this lady came with her interruption, the girl that had died, she was 12 years of age. And ever since that girl of 12 years of age, ever since she'd been born, this woman had been carrying this weight. And here she was with her exhaustion and lethargy and hopelessness and defeatism, as it were. I wonder, I don't know about this, but I wonder if she'd heard Jesus say, or maybe somebody had told her, that Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." I wonder if she'd heard that. I wonder if she came on the strength of that, or some other word that she heard. And here she was, 12 years, and she dragged her weary body to where Jesus was. Are you weary tonight? Oh, in whatever circumstances we are, we may come in our weariness, we may come to Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and the strength of his people, the peace of his people, the hope of his people. Now the God of hope. Oh, do you need hope tonight? Now the God of hope, writes the Apostle Paul in Romans 15, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Believers, are you weary? Come to Jesus afresh. Well, she came wearily. And then secondly, I noticed that she came timidly. She came timidly. We read there in verse 20 that she came behind. She came behind. And I notice that this story is told in Matthew's Gospel, in Mark's Gospel, and in Luke's Gospel. And it's interesting that each of the Gospel writers make the point and actually say she came behind. They all noticed it. Maybe they all saw her. Maybe she came. Not like some came, of course. You remember the rich young ruler? He came straight up to Jesus, running, falling at his feet. You remember how that Nicodemus, he had an encounter with Jesus. It was by night, but it was a face-to-face encounter. And others, the men who were blind, they didn't see Jesus, but as far as they were able, they came before him. But this woman, she came behind. She was of a timid temperament. Are you of a timid temperament? Do you know sometimes people who have a very bold temperament in worldly matters, they can be very timid in spiritual matters? Maybe you think to yourself tonight, well, I would be a Christian, but I don't know what to do, and I'm too timid about it. Well, this woman, she was timid. So timid, she came behind. She came behind. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're not one of those outspoken, bold people. And maybe you hold back. Maybe your friend one night said, you know, I'm going to become a Christian, but you felt to yourself, well, I could never do that. This woman was timid. Timid. You've heard of John Bunyan's Mr. Fearing. Well, this is Mrs. Fearing. This was his wife. Mrs. Fearing, here she is. Well, she came She came wearily, and she came timidly. Thirdly, she came desperately. Oh, she came desperately. In Mark chapter 5, where this story is told, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 26, we read this. She'd spent her all. She was so desperate, she spent her all. Are you here tonight? And you're desperate. Maybe the devil has tempted you to do something desperate. I don't know. You're here tonight and God's speaking to you. God's reminding you that in your desperateness, there is Jesus Christ to whom you may run. You may find him tonight, desperate though you are. Desperate. Tried everything. Maybe you've spent all looking for satisfaction. Maybe you've spent all looking for happiness, looking for peace, looking for contentment. When you heard in the last few days of those people who'd won the £90 million lottery, maybe you'd wished you were one of them. Maybe you're desperate and you want something as an answer. Well, this woman was desperate. In her need, there's good news. Maybe you're needy tonight. Let me tell you this. Only the needy go to Jesus. Not the self-confident. Not the I am all right. Not those I'm good as them that go to church and all that business. No. Only the needy go to Christ. Are you needy tonight to the point of desperateness? You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. I tell you where to go. Go to Jesus. Go to the cross. Going to Jesus means to trust him, to believe him, to have faith in him, to ask him to be your Savior. She came wearily, timidly, desperately. And fourthly, she came frustratedly. How do I know that? Well, I'm told. That account there in where it gives it in Mark chapter 5, it says this, that she'd spent all, but not only that. Mark says this, she'd not only spent all, but, he says, she had suffered many things of many physicians and was no better. Rather, says Mark, she was worse. She was worse. Have you tried the solutions of this world? You've been here and you've been there. And you've spoken to this one and you've spoken to that one. And they've said, well, this is where you, if you go here, oh, I went to such a place. I had a wonderful time, you know. I was able to forget myself. I really enjoyed myself. So you went and tried it. Well, this woman spent all. Suffered many things of many physicians. Was not only no better, rather worse. Are you here tonight? You've tried the world. You've tried its pleasures. But your soul is not satisfied. You may go to Jesus. This woman was on her way to Jesus in all her weariness and all her timidity and all her desperateness and frustratedness. Well, I should think the poor dear was frustrated. She'd lined the pockets of those who had promised cures. How many pockets are being lined tonight by people who are promising cures, physical? The devil will come and he'll promise you the world. He promised the world to Jesus. He said to Jesus, "If you just bow down to me, and I'll give you the world." One night, that was being read. That passage of scripture was being read at evening prayers, and Billy Bray was there, and he was sitting there listening. And when the portion was read, where the devil said, "I'll give you the world," apparently we're told Billy Bray jumped up and said, "The old liar! It was never his to give. It was never his to give." But he promises it. He promises it. Promise you the world. Well, this woman tried the world. Something else about this woman. She came secretly. It's an interesting point here, the way it speaks, you know, what it says about her. She came secretly. Some people's conversions are very, very public. Saul of Tarsus, for instance, very public. There he was with all his retinue around him. Suddenly a light from heaven. Down he went with his face to the ground. These were all standing around. Maybe people were around when you got saved. I don't know. And some of you came very secretly. Nobody knew about it. There you were. You were on your knees in your bedroom or somewhere else, and you came secretly. This woman, she came to Jesus secretly. Oh, there's a crowd around. I know that. But I mean on the way. Listen to this. This is what it says. In verse 21, it says, she said within herself. She was talking to herself. Do you ever talk to yourself? I do. I argue with myself, and I always win as well. But she was talking to herself. She said within herself. Within herself. Apparently, there was nobody else involved. You remember one who came to Jesus, and he was carried by four. He had four friends to bring him. She didn't have anybody, seemingly. She said within herself. And not only that, but this is the grammar of it. She kept on saying to herself. She kept repeating it. She kept on saying to herself. Have you ever had a secret desire to become a Christian? Have you? And you didn't tell anybody about it. And you haven't told anybody about it. But you've wondered at these Christians, and you come here listening to Mr. Hughes week by week, and you have some secret desire to be a Christian. You haven't told anybody. There's no need to tell anybody. Mind you, you'll want to tell somebody afterwards. But she kept on saying to herself. She was saying to herself. Oh, what an incredible thing. Well, sixthly is interesting. Sixthly is this. She came confidently. Well, you mean to say, after saying she came wearily and timidly and desperately and frustratedly and secretly, now you're saying she came confidently. How does that add up? Well, I don't know how it adds up. I'm just expounding the scriptures. How do I know she came confidently? Well, I've only got to look. At what she was saying to herself. As she was coming along the road, she was saying to herself, and she kept on saying to herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. I shall be cured. Isn't that confidence? She believed that Jesus could meet her need. She believed it. And she was on the way. There may have been some, and she may have told them on the way. She may have said, I'm going to Jesus to be healed. And they may have said, oh, you'll get nowhere there. He's just a charlatan. I wouldn't go there if I were you. She didn't tell anybody. She went to Jesus. And she went with this expression being repeated, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. What's the biggest word in that sentence? I'll give it to you again. If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. What's the biggest word? The biggest word is his. She wasn't trying to touch Matthew's coat, or John's, or Peter's, or the Virgin Mary. Oh, no, 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 no. And tonight, you don't stretch out your hand to the preacher or to some Christian you know. Jesus. Jesus alone. How wonderful that his garment can be touched. She was confident that it was Jesus who had the answer. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Is this you tonight? Do you secretly believe that if you came to Jesus, he would save you? He would forgive you all your sins? Come to him. Trust him. The cross is all our hope. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Will you come? Now then, one more point. She came wearily, timidly, desperately, frustratedly, secretly, confidently. And you all know what the last point is. Sometimes you try to guess what the preacher's last point is. Well, you needn't guess tonight. You all know it. She came successfully. How wonderful. What a day. Would you like to have been there? Would you like to have been there that day and seen that woman coming up behind him, watching her? There was something special. Matthew noticed it, and Mark noticed it, and Luke noticed it. All this crowd. And yet here is this one woman noticed, and she's coming behind, and she's trying to touch his garment. If I can but touch his garment. Here she comes. And then she was healed from that hour. Wonderful. From that hour. Matthew says, from that hour. Mark says, straightway. Luke says, immediately. Jesus said, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Ask for the gift of faith. Go to God in prayer and ask for the gift of faith. Faith is a gift. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith, grace, mercy, they're all gifts. Faith is a gift. Go to God and ask for the gift of faith, to believe that Christ can save you and will save you now, tonight. Faith, believe, trust, all the same thing. Listen to these words of Jesus. If anyone comes to me, I will tell them I'm too busy. No. If anyone comes to me, I will tell them to come back later. No. If anyone comes to me, I will not for any reason turn him away. Who are you? What's your name? What's your problem? What sins have you committed? Has the devil told you that there is some hindrance whereby you cannot be saved? Others can be Christians, but not you. Others can have their sins forgiven, but not you. Others can have their lives transformed, but not you. Is that what the devil's told you? Is that what the devil's telling you now? Let me tell you what Jesus says. If anyone comes to me, I will not for any reason turn him away. Will you believe it? Will you believe it? Mr. Fearing, are you here tonight? Mrs. Fearing, are you here tonight? Are you here? Come. This lady, we're told, she came. She came. Oh, happy day. Happy day. She came. And come so that the Lord Jesus Christ can be your Savior, can be your strength, can be your guide, can be your Father. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, just a closing word about your disposition. We're told that this woman, she came timidly and wearily and all that. And this is interesting. The Lord Jesus, according to Luke 8, verse 47, says this. The Lord Jesus said, who touched me? She touched him, and she was healed. She was made right. What happened next? Oh, she became a big, bold, confident woman from that day on. No. Even after she was healed, this is what it says. She came trembling. She was still coming, and she was still trembling. And it may be that that's the kind of disposition you have, and you see some other Christians, how confident they are. They seem to be able to carry everything before them. They've read all the books that were written and all the rest of it, and they can witness to everybody in sight, and somehow you don't just seem to be like that. Well, this woman, she was of a trembling disposition. She was Mrs. Fearing, but she got to Christ, and she got right in her body, and I believe in her soul, for our Lord Jesus speaks about her faith too. Her disposition was the same. God's people are a little flock, and God's people are often a trembling flock, but they get the good of Jesus. Be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Now let us pray. Now, is there someone here tonight? And you know that God is speaking to you. You know that I was preaching to you. I didn't know it, but you know it. And you need, your greatest need is to come to Jesus and trust him as your Savior. To find the pearl of greatest price. Will you come? You believers who tremble, keep going to Jesus. Keep going to Jesus. Our great God and loving Heavenly Father, we bless thee for these choice passages of Scripture in which we are taught the way to Jesus. Lord, many come in many different ways. Lord, as we've looked at this woman tonight, we pray that somebody will have been helped, that somebody will be led to the Savior, that some Christian will be strengthened to continue on the pilgrim way, up the hill difficulty, until we reach that land where we see Jesus face to face. Oh, we bless thee for thy word. Grant graciously to us that we may remember it as we go out into the world. Hear us as we bring our prayers. We come in Jesus' precious name. Amen.